Good morning. In Jesus' name, God bless you, dear young people. It's Bible school again. What a joy. What a joy is mine. It is literally the highlight of my year to be able to have a Bible school, to be able to share the Word of God with you young people, to feed your hungry hearts and challenge your winning souls to do the will of God. That's the highlight of my year. Let us seek God together this week, young people, with the fervency of those Chinese Christians that we heard about last night. Let us seek God together like that, young people. I'm sure that most of you heard those testimonies last night. What did you think of those two young ladies who dealt with that fellow that lived down at the end of that village? Just a couple 18-year-old girls. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes a big difference, you know. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, our Father, we bow to you again in that name. That name that stopped that evil man in his tracks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow to you, Father. We thank you that you've gathered us into this building today. We thank you for this Bible school, Father. I thank you for every one of these young people. Their willingness to spend a week of their life here, God, I pray that you will reward them for that. God, we have many things to cover. There are things that we need to learn. We need the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. We pray that you will do that for us today and throughout this week, Father. I ask you this morning that you would rebuke Satan and every evil, lying spirit away from this place this morning, God. That would lie, that would confound, that would blind, that would confuse these young people. Rebuke them away from this place, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost that we may learn your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was thinking about those Chinese Christians as I was meditating this morning. I haven't gotten over last night's meeting. It was a little hard for me to focus for a while this morning because I was so arrested by the things we heard. And I had the privilege of sitting down with those two men after the service last night and interviewing them, so that I could put an article in the Remnant about the radical Chinese house church. So I sat in the meeting and wrote questions that I want to ask. And then I threw questions at these men for about an hour and 20 minutes last night. But as I listened to them last evening in the meeting and also in the interview, I was thinking about the sessions that we had last year. Do you remember them? I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Remember that? Remember that radical standard that God gave us out of His Word? That's what those Chinese Christians are. I mean, I looked down through the notes this morning. They just hit every point. I want to encourage you to go for that, young people. There is a war going on. I don't know if you know that, but I think you will by the end of the week. There is a war going on, and they have engaged the enemy. Amen? They have engaged the enemy. We want to talk a little bit about war this morning. You say, well, what does that have to do with being freedom from bondage? Well, you'll see. You'll see. There is a war going on. Young people, in the early days of this country where we live, they started having problems with the Indians. And I'm sure it was the settlers who made some of those problems with the Indians, taking their land and all of those kind of things. But they started having problems with the Indians. And the British, they called forth the British soldiers to take care of these problems with the Indians. Well, if you know anything about history, you know that those British soldiers had a very different way to fight. They just kind of lined up in ranks. So many soldiers in a rank, then another, And they had a commander who was in charge of several of these ranks. And when these soldiers went out to war, they just stood in the line like this with their muskets at their shoulders, and they marched along like this according to the commandments of the commander. And there they stood. And then the commander would tell them all at once, prepare your muskets. And they all would take their musket down and get out a little ball and throw the ball in there and get out the little horn and dump a little bit of gunpowder in there and stuff it a little bit, and then he would give the next command. Ready? Aim! Fire! And they would all shoot in one direction. And if the commander wanted him to shoot over there, he would give him another command. Everyone flanks to the left. And they all started marching like this, and pretty soon there was a whole row of soldiers like this. Same thing. Get out your weapon, put a ball in there, ready, aim, fire! So anyway, they went out into the woods, these British soldiers, they went out into the woods to take care of these Indians. Like that. You already know what happened, don't you? Indians don't fight like that. The Indians fought by different rules. They hide in bushes. They hide in trees. They sneak behind rocks. They step out behind the rock and shoot an arrow and jump back behind the rock again. They use tactics like ambush, and would hide in the trees and in the bushes and wait for the soldiers, and all of a sudden they would converge on them from every direction. And we all know what happened to those flanks of soldiers. I mean, it was utter devastation. There stand all those soldiers. I mean, they're obeying their commander, and they think they've got it all together. And I mean, they're with full confidence. They're all there with their muskets, you know, and surely they had better weapons than the Indians did. But there they stood with their muskets and ready to go. Imagine how the Indians must have thought when they looked that thing over. They had evaluated a few battlefields in their day too, and they hood in the bushes there and looked out there at those soldiers and thought, my, this is going to be easy. And it was easy. Until the British learned the rules. And when the British learned the rules, because they had more powerful weapons, everything changed real fast. Well, brothers and sisters, that is a graphic picture of how it is for many Christians in our land today. They don't know the rules. Some of them don't even know there's a war going on. But there is a war going on. And these sessions will be about that war. Young people, it's time to wake up, grow up, stand up, and fight. The shocking reality of a spiritual war. That's the title of this first message in our series on freedom from bondage. The shocking reality of a spiritual war. If we can turn to Ephesians, reading there, and I'm sure that Brother Mose will have you in Ephesians chapter 6, but we want to look at the war as we move into this subject of being free from bondage. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verse 10 through 13. And not get into the armor, which is where Brother Moses will be speaking. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm putting this word in here, but it's assumed. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, that can be a bit scary when you look at it, but I want to just focus a little bit on a few words here in these verses, first of all. It's not scary if you are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not scary if you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's not scary if you know how to wrestle. It's not scary if you have the ability to withstand the attacks of the enemy, and after you have withstood the attack of the enemy, you're still standing. So, though it's a bit scary to look at those verses, God gives them in the context of victory, not in the context of failure. Because there is a spiritual war going on, some people are in bondage. Some are weak. Some are wounded. Some are prisoners. And that's what I'm going to be dealing with this week. There is a war going on. And because many people do not even understand that there is a war going on, many are weak and wounded. And some are prisoners. So I'm going to be the doctor this week. I'm the medic. Running out on the battlefield and grabbing a wounded one and dragging them off to the side and getting them back on their feet. Bondage. The word bondage means this, young people. It means to be enslaved. It means to be bound or fastened as with chains and fetters. That's what the word bondage means. To be bound or fastened with chains and fetters. Some of you are bound. Even as you sit here, you're bound. I'm glad that not all of you are bound. But some of you are bound. I know that. I've been doing Bible schools for a lot of years. A lot of years. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, is describing the condition of the people of God who were bound. And he says these words, describing them in chapter 42 and verse 22. But this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for a spoil, and none saith, restore. That's quite a picture. Some are laying on the battlefield wounded, sitting there weak and discouraged, or maybe even locked in a prison by now. And there's not much you can do. But God wants to set you free. This is the heritage of the people of God. It is not His will that we be bound. It is not His will that we be laying along the side, broken and wounded. It is not God's will. The heritage of the people of God is a heritage of freedom. John chapter 8, if we could turn there. John chapter 8, we see this so beautifully described by our Lord Jesus Christ as He was preaching to the people. There are many secrets here, and we'll probably get into some of them as we go through the week, but we just want to read these verses first of all as introduction. John chapter 8, reading from verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. But as My Father hath taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me, Jesus said. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Beautiful verses. Verses on the freedom that is in Christ. Verses on the liberating power of the gospel. Verses which promise to every single child of God a life of blessing and freedom. There they are. If ye continue in My words, Jesus says, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, or you shall be knowing the truth and knowing it and knowing it. And as you know it and you continue in it and you walk in it, you shall be free, because the truth will make you free. Young people, that's the heritage of the children of God. The truth will make you free. Don't forget that. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus moved in a little deeper into their hearts here. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now that word committeth there, young people, that not talking about somebody who sins one time. It's talking about somebody who committeth. We know that. These things write unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin, Jesus said. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Indeed. Beautiful addition to the word free. Free? Yes, free. Free? Free indeed. Oh, what joy rings in my soul as I remember the testimony of those who have been set free, and they can't help but say, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free indeed. Dear young people, this is the heritage of the children of God. This is what the Lord Jesus bought and paid for. This is the reason why He went to the cross and suffered for you and me, that He might make us free. And when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't settle for anything less than that, young people. There's power to live in victory over sin. There's power to live a holy life. Oh, young people, these verses, this is God's emancipation proclamation to every single one of us here this morning. You do not have to live in any kind of bondage. You can be free. But let's go back to the reality of the war. Many, especially in our land, many in our land are drunk with pleasure and food and all kinds of things. They're drunk and they foolishly do not acknowledge that there is a war going on. I'm sorry to inform you, but that doesn't work in this war. It doesn't work in this one. The war we're talking about is everywhere. It's true, it's more intense in some places than others, but this war that we're talking about, it's everywhere. It's not like fleshly wars, you know. Oh, there's a war over in the Gulf, and here we are, you know. We're here in America, and while there's war over there in the Gulf and in Persian Gulf and all that, we're back here in the United States just enjoying life, and everything's great here, and oh my. Now let them fight the war over there. I'm going to stay over here where it's nice and comfortable. Well, dear young people, that doesn't work with this war. It's not in a locality. It's not something that you can say, well, I don't think I'm going to volunteer for that. Bless God. Praise the Lord. My sins are forgiven. And I'm a Christian. And I'm on my way to heaven. And we'll let somebody else fight the war. I'm just going to sit here with my blessed assurance and do nothing. Young people, that doesn't work with this war. It doesn't work. The enemy has no mercy in this war. And whether you are volunteering for this war or not, you are in it. And sticking your head in the sand like the ostrich does, it doesn't work for this. You know what the ostrich does? When there's trouble around or he's afraid or whatever, you know, he doesn't like the circumstances, he just goes and sticks his head in the sand. And I guess, you know, he doesn't have a very big brain. He thinks, well, everything's okay. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. Everything's fine. There he is with his head in the sand. Oh, talk about a clear target. I mean, he doesn't even know when the arrow's coming. Because he has his head in the sand. And dear young people, there are many. There are many Christians that are just like that. But the sad thing is, the war is still going on. It's going on. And you're in it. What do you suppose will happen to Christians who don't put on this wartime mentality, who laugh their way through life, playing games, fooling around, making daisy chains? What do you think is going to happen to them? Well, I'll tell you, bondage will be their lot. Bondage will be their lot. In Ephesians chapter 6, again in verse 12, Paul mentions four words here. He uses the word as he's describing who we wrestle with, and we do. We wrestle with principalities, with powers, with rulers of darkness, with spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities are princes over polities. You look it up, even in the English dictionary, it will say a ruler over a region. Look it up in the English dictionary. A principality. They call Ephrata a municipality. It is a region. Wicked princes over polities. High-ranking devils. Powers. That word power means authorities who receive delegated power from the high-ranking devils above them. Authorities, rulers of darkness, are world rulers of darkness. You look up the word in the Greek, it uses the word cosmos. World rulers of darkness. And lastly, spiritual wickedness. That word means wicked spirits. Wicked spirits. Now, this is a sobering lineup of the enemy of soldiers, isn't it? And guess what? We are in that war. They don't just go over here because you're not interested in that. They don't just go over here because you say, that scares me, I don't think I want to have anything to do with that. No, they don't just go over here and stay away from you because you say, I'm not interested, I'm too young, or you know, whatever. Whatever the excuses may be, they don't just run over here and say, okay, well, we'll wait until you want to fight, you know. They don't just sit over there in the corner and wait for you to say, let's fight. Amen? They don't. This is the enemy. Like it or not, we are in a war with these ruling spirits, these wicked spirits. The Bible says they are fallen angels. The Bible calls them demons. Devils. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Get just a little bit of a glimpse here of behind the scene glimpse. And God doesn't give us a lot of behind the scene glimpse, but He gives us enough that we know there is a reality of a spiritual war going on. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, we find these words. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Far enough. Young people, there are millions of them. Millions and millions of them. If you just think about the scriptures we just read there, And other scriptures teach us that a third of the angels in heaven rebelled along with Satan and they were cast to the earth. Well, I think it's in Revelation chapter 5, they bring before us one of the scenes there, one of the beautiful scenes in heaven of worship and all that. And if you'll count up and multiply up the number of angels that is in that scene, there's 100 million angels just there in that scene. So there are millions and millions and millions of these wicked spirits, fallen angels, who kept not their first estate, Jude says. They are angels that sinned, 2 Peter says. And God tells us, when God tells us to resist the devil, young people, you know He's not just talking about the devil. Because the devil is not behind every onslaught of temptation and deception that we deal with. There are millions of His cohorts which are working with Him to try to overthrow you and to render you ineffective. God tells us to be sober and to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Wicked spirits. Some of them, it seems from the Scriptures, have different characters of evil. The Bible talks about lying spirits. The Bible talks about unclean spirits. Jesus spoke to one and said, "You foul spirit, get out of him." Scriptures talk about deaf and dumb spirits. One poor lady was bowed down with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And Paul warns us of seducing spirits. This is what he's talking about. It's all these angels who kept not their first estate. And because of their rebellion following Lucifer, they were all cast down to the earth. And if you read a little bit further on in the Scriptures there in Revelation, it says, "Woe to the people of the earth. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, for he knows that his time is short." We're in a war, young people. And I'm sorry to tell you, whether you understand that war or not, you're still in it. You're still in it. Paul infers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, "We wrestle." Paul puts himself in there. He knew what spiritual warfare was all about. And by the way, it doesn't go away when you get older. It doesn't go away. Paul said, "We wrestle." Young people, we wrestle. Here's the big question this morning, as we're just laying the groundwork here. Here's the big question. What if we are not strong in the Lord and the power of His might? What if we don't put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil? What if we don't quench all the fiery darts of the wicked? What if we don't lift up the shield of faith which blocks those fiery missiles, which are accusations, temptations, and deceptions and lies? What if we don't cast down strongholds and every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of our God? What if we are not sober and vigilant, though our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? And what if we don't resist the devil? What if we don't do it?
What if we just flip our way through life and act like there isn't no such thing as that and live in some kind of a dream world and just go our own way and just kind of play our way through the Christian life? And what if we do it that way? What's going to happen to us? We live like this over a long period of time. You will not be able to stand. You will not withstand the attacks. You will not. You will be overcome and you will be devoured. And you know, I studied that word devoured. You know, it's interesting. It has the word, it has the meaning of being drowned. You know, like the scripture says in Isaiah, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, the enemy does come in like a flood. And if we aren't ready for him, we'll be swallowed up. You can be brought into bondage. What are the goals of Satan and all these wicked spirits? Just briefly here this morning. Their goals are to turn the glory away from God in any way they can. They cannot stand the fact that God is the only true God, that He rules over the throne of the universe and He's master over everything. They can't stand that. They don't like the sound of it. They don't even want to hear me say it today, but it's true. And their goals are to turn the glory away from God. If you're lost, their goal is to keep you blind and in bondage. And there's probably some young people here that you're not born again. Their goal for you this week is to just keep the blinders on you. Just keep the blinders on you. Their goal is to render your life ineffective through lies, deception, accusation, condemnation, get you discouraged, and render you inactive. Their goal is to entice you to sin so that you cannot and will not win any other souls to Jesus Christ. Their goal is to slowly but steadily lead you into deeper and deeper bondage. Their goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Their goal is to devour you, young people. That is their goal. And if you want to get a good, clear glimpse of their agenda, just drop into heathendom anywhere in the world. And you'll see how it all works out once they've had their will and way in a group of people's lives. The degradation, the uncleanness, the evil, the filth, the fears, the bondages that they hold the people in, some of them for hundreds of years. Don't you doubt it. That is exactly what they would like to do with you. They would like to do that. Picture the battlefield a little bit this morning. We are supposed to rise up by the strength of God and glorify and love and honor His matchless name. That's the battle we're in. That's our goal. We're supposed to prove God's grace unto holiness in our lives. We're supposed to aggressively attack the gates of hell. We're supposed to win souls and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to put the enemy to flight. And oh, I thank God for that testimony last night of the house church in China. They are putting the enemy to flight. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad for that last night. You know, sometimes, you know, they say, oh, you're lifting the standard too high. You're making it too difficult. You know, why are you raising it so high? Oh, those testimonies last night, man, they made anything that I could say look sick. That's the way the battlefield's supposed to be. soldiers standing out on the battlefield, eyes on their captain, doing battle with the enemy, blasting the gates of hell and snatching souls out of the devil's kingdom and bringing them into the kingdom of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, bringing them there to worship and adore the God of heaven. However, because we refuse to acknowledge the reality of this war, and yet we are in it, you look out over the battlefields, especially here in America, and you see desolation instead. You see soldiers fighting with each other. I don't like the way you hold your gun. I think you ought to stand over there. Well, I think you ought to stand over here. Oh, yeah? Yeah. And on he goes. How sad. How many soldiers are on the battlefield fussing and carrying on. You look out over the battlefield and you see desolation. You see some laying there wounded by their fellow Christians, knocked down, devastated, and discouraged by their fellow Christians. You see soldiers on their knees, no fervent prayers to pray, but they're there. There lay soldiers with a fiery dart burning a hole in their heart. And there they lay. One missile got them. And there it is, burning and infecting and defiling and destroying them. You see soldiers sitting there, discouraged, weak, ready to give up, and thinking, I think I'm about done. Bombarded with lies and believing them more and more. As they sit there in their discouragement, bombarded with lies from the enemy. You see soldiers with chains about them, bound to a tree. And some with just the ball and chain on them. You know, they can move around a bit, but they have to drag this ball with them. Boy, you know, they get this thing and drag it along with them, you know, to go to church, you know. And, all right, it's time to go to the prayer meeting. And they drag this big ball along with them as they go to the prayer meeting. And I'm telling you, young people, that's the way it is. Many, many times. Many are stumbling around blind and in a state of confusion, wondering what is hitting them and where the next arrow is coming from. That is not the will of God. Last night, as we heard the testimonies of this powerful church storming the gates of hell, people came to me afterwards. You know how you visit after a meeting, and a meeting like that, it stimulates lots of good discussion. How many of you talked about it on your way home and while you got home last night? Let me see your hands. Yeah, there was a lot to talk about last night. Well, this is what people said to me. What about us? What is wrong? Where are we at? How come things like that don't happen here? Well, there may be several reasons for that. I'm one who believes that our unbelieving Western mind has a lot to do with it. But one of the main reasons why we are in the shape that we're in is so many have been overcome in the war to a greater or a lesser degree. And the devil's real happy. We're just kind of floating along, playing church, playing Christianity, going through the motions, you know. We've got all our things set in order and we go through all these motions and very few souls get saved.
I know we have some wounded soldiers here this week. I know that. That's what I'll be dealing with. Wounded soldiers. There's freedom for you, young people. Nice thing about this war, we have potential of tremendous victory in this war that I'm talking about. We have the possibility of every fallen, wounded, and even bound soldier to be absolutely liberated. You do not have to lay on the battlefield any longer. You do not have to sit there in a stupor wondering what is going on. There is potential for every wounded soldier to be completely restored. Did you know, young people, that some of the best soldiers in the battles that take place in the world around us, you know, some of the best soldiers on the battlefields are the soldiers who took a couple hits already in their life, and they were drug off the battlefield and carried to a hospital, and there they lay in the hospital bed, having bullets pulled out of them, having shrapnel cut out of them, laying there with their wounds healing. When them soldiers get up out of their beds and put their boots back on, I guarantee you, they don't think, oh boy, I'm not going back into that anymore. Oh, forget it, not me. No. They rise up with a vehemence concerning the enemy that they never had before. They rise up with a determination that they never had before. They rise up with a courage like they never had before. You are in a war, young people. You're in a war. And really, if I get just very frank with you here this morning, you really don't have any choice. You don't have any choice. Whatever your problem is, whatever your need is, whatever your hurt is, whatever your bondage is, whatever your sin is, whatever the devastation is that took place in your life, whatever it is, you don't really have a choice to just say, I'm just, forget it. You don't have a choice. You're in a war. And the devil has a ball and chain for you. He has one for you. You don't really have a choice. You're in a war. It's not time for a pity party, young people. It's not time for that. Poor me. I had it so rough. Oh, if you knew my home life. Oh, if you knew what happened to me. If you knew what they did. If you knew what they said. Oh, if you knew the temptations that I'm facing. Whatever it is, whatever goes through your mind. It's not time for a pity party, young people. It's not for me. You're in a war. You're in a war. You have an enemy. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I want to encourage you to rise up. Rise up this week. Deal with the issues. Clean up. Clear up. Confess up. Break the chains in Jesus Christ's name. Break the chains that may be binding you. Open up the wound that needs to be healed. Rise up. Clean up. Clear up. Confess up. Break the chains. And put your armor on. And stand up like a soldier who's ready to go to war. It is God's will that every one of you leave here in a week that way. In your heart, in your spirit, you are standing just like this. Awake, alert, vehement, watchful, trusting, confident, moving, ready to go. It's God's will for every one of you to leave here that way. Because you're in a war and you can't get out of it. There's no discharge in this war. That verse is in Ecclesiastes. There's no discharge in this war. You can't get out of it. You can't say, "Oh, that's too much for me, Brother Denny. I think I'll just take a back seat for this session." You can't do that. The reality, the shocking reality of a spiritual war, every one of us have to come to grips with it. And I pray to God that you, every one of you, will come to grips with that this week. Through the sessions that are taught to you. I pray to God that every one of you who know, I'm just sitting there. I'm one of those just sitting on the battlefield and I don't know what to do. He has distracted me. I pray that God will help you. Give you the grace. Give you the courage. Give you the determination and the vehemence to rise up and say, "That's it. I'm going to deal with everything. I'm going to deal with anything. Whatever God says to me, however God ministers to me, whatever God reveals to my heart, I'm going to deal with it all. I'm going to walk out of here clear and clean." Amen? Oh, what a joy it was to my heart yesterday, and I know that many of you saw that team of young people who came back from Africa. Clear eyes, bright faces, joy in their hearts, standing there full of the Holy Ghost, with all kinds of things that want to come out of their hearts. They want to speak, "Oh, God has been so good to us, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened." That's just a little glimpse of the victorious war that you can be engaged in if you will get up off the battlefield and deal with your issues. That's just a little glimpse of it. So, we're talking about freedom from bondage here this week. That's our sessions. But I felt like I want to put it in the proper perspective as we begin. And just to help you to see, maybe from a little bit different perspective, instead of just standing here and saying, "You're evil. Why are you living in that sin?" Which we can do that too. But just to say, "Young people, do you realize that there's an enemy that is tracking you? Do you realize? Let's shake it in Jesus' name." That's my encouragement to you. Let's stand together for prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the revelations of your will in your word. Father, we thank you that you did. You didn't just leave us unknown. You have shown us in your word about our enemy. You told us we were soldiers. There are many verses, Lord. God, I pray, would you bear these verses down upon the hearts of these young people? Oh God, raise up soldiers. And Father, I pray for the wounded, for the hurting, for the discouraged, for the prisoners. I pray for them, Father, Would you come alongside of them and minister to their hearts? Would you slap the mouth of that lying spirit, Father, that would be telling them, don't do anything? Would you slap his mouth, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, and stop him from speaking? Father, we ask you that in the name of your Son. I commit all these young people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.